Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. It is now December the 31st, 2010. This is the last day of the year. We're getting ready to move into 2011. And we're doing the theme for the week has been 2010 in retrospect and then marching into 2011. Hey, welcome to all those listening live. Welcome to all those who will listen by archive later on. Want to say that we are together for a one-hour providential, supernatural engagement. May God's grace and may God's, restoration even today touch your life. Can hardly imagine it. December the 31st and the last day. And I've got a lot of things to do. Already have done some things today. Going to have some kind of big fellowship late tonight all the way into 2011. And I have a lot of expectation for 2011. I really do. So I'm going to see in this session here today, as God would speak to your heart, whether you have expectation for some great things in 2011. For all those new listening right now, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast, last day of the year. And we are ready for 2011. Going to say to all those who have been praying for us and those who have helped this radio project be here through these last 6-7 months, I want you to know that we're grateful that thousands and thousands and thousands have heard, thousands and thousands and thousands have downloaded. In all of our projects, up to 90 countries of the world, ni hao to the Chinese, especially those who monitor all that comes in. Dobre utra to the Russians. There is a great love in my heart as God is literally in his mission reaching out to you direct. And that's why we're here. It is really a providential moment in history. I know that myself. Want to say that we're not empowered and sponsored by commercials and commercial products. So we're going to ask again those who have believed in the work, believe that it's beneficial, to remember us going into 2011. And for us to stay alive, we're going to see the need for commitment. And if you're going to be willing to do that, please email me, let me know. We've had specifically two individuals, but we've had very kind individuals that have helped us to this very hour be out there with you. We have seen the fruit of it. We have seen the possibilities in it. And we are going to be in expectation. So we simply ask the Lord to lead. Take a look, if you would, if you care about the work, if you believe that it's beneficial, if you believe that thousands of others, up to 90 countries, in the total work of what we do, would benefit. Simply on shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see the sponsor tab. That's how we do it. Appreciate that, and thank you again. I'm looking at a note in front of me. I had my notes to the right of me for today, and it's 2010 in light of 2012. Did you hear what I said? It is 2010 in light of 2012. Well, what happened to 2011? That's kind of my thoughts about 2011, that it's going to kind of get lost in between 2010, what has been, 2012, where everybody... And I'm going to say this, probably by a couple of billion will be engaged with thinking about December 21st, 2012. So I'm going to say that 2011 may, you know, there'll be those that that don't live in the midst of day-by-day expectation and accomplishment, looking forward, spending all the time in focusing on 2012. December 21st. And we're going to do a series on this, of course. But before we launch into that, let's get perspective. 2010, retrospect. If this wouldn't have happened, I could have done more. If that could have occurred, I would have been better off. If this would have been, I could have, what if? You know, what if the catastrophe came? Would you have been ready? What if the Antichrist was ready to rise? Would you have been ready? What about this in retrospect of 2010? I wish I could have. Now fill in the blank. I wish I could have led more friends to Christ. I wish I could have prayed with greater power. I wish I could have learned more of the scripture. I wish I could have fellowshiped with God in a way that left my life stronger than ever before. I wish I could have loved my family more. I wish I would have made more of every opportunity. I wish I wouldn't have stumbled. I wish I wouldn't have failed. I wish... So we can look back over 2010, and I'm going to say, listen, it's okay. You can look back over 2010 without fear, without guilt. I mean, listen, because the mercies of God are new every morning. Because the mercies of God are new every morning, we find this in the book of Lamentations, that God's mercies, they are new today, my friend. God's grace, God's power, God's forgiveness, God's restoration, revival, renewal, a new door. So as we look over all of 2010, do it in light of God's presence, of the fact that God has plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Isn't that what we read in the book of Jeremiah? Is that not God? If it is God that so loved the world, if it is God that gives the monogenesis, the only begotten Son of God, this is what we need to understand no matter what we've been through or where we've been. If God is for us, who can be against us? Remember that, Romans chapter 8. So listen, as you take a few moments to listen, and as I take these moments to share, I know that I do it in the presence of God. I know I do it with the indwelling of the living Christ. I know I do it as I look over 2010, and there are things that I think, what if this? There are things that I would say, I wish I could have done better, more precise. And so in the evaluation, it's not about condemnation. Oh, that's where the devil and the world and the old, listen, that's where all of that side would leave you and leave me in condemnation. Here's where we can take a look today and even tomorrow when we think in terms of the last year. Some people want to just wash it away. Some people want to just forget about all of it. Some people just want to count all the pennies and move on. But why not evaluate? Why not take the time in the presence of God before the throne of grace? No matter what your background, listen, if you are somebody who has been screaming out to the world, you know, literally alarming the world about the issues that it needs to hear, whatever your work has been, whatever your year has been like, I know that every one of us are called to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy, that we might find grace in the time of need. Could there be new wisdom? Could there be new direction? Could there be a realization of God? Here's what I realized I could have been and done. And now I'm here to stand up again. Even though Peter stumbled and failed in the midst of spiritual warfare, even though he went back to his old job and sat around, it was Jesus who showed up where he was, back in his old spot, back in his old place. That was a place where no accomplishment would have occurred. That was a place where only failure was singing its song of death. That's where Peter was, knowing what he did and how he failed and not realizing the depth of spiritual warfare. Now, if he was just left there, I wonder what kind of depressed fisherman he would have become. But instead, Jesus goes back to engage him. Do you love me, Peter? I mean, agape. Do you love me with a committed love that will step out and do all? Well, at first he couldn't say that. And Jesus brought it up again. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus will bring it up again and again and again and again because he wants to take you out into what he wants you to accomplish. Peter finally listened. Jesus knew that he would return. And he commissioned him again. And Peter was there for Pentecost. And the power of God came down and he preached. I mean, on that day he was different. He was in the arena where God led him. He opened up and stepped back out and believed God, even in the midst of his own failure, even in the midst of his own absolutely devastating, depressing, spiritually warfare. Listen, that's what it was. It wasn't flesh and blood. It wasn't the people that did things to him. It wasn't the girl that asked him if he was a follower of Christ and he cussed and denied it. It wasn't their fault. It was what was behind the scenes, and he had no deep clue at that point in his life. But listen, as Jesus went back to him, as Jesus came to renew, restore, and put him out there as intended, Peter had no idea, depressed back there as a fisherman on the side of the lake, what was to come. But because he did respond, because he did return, because he did step back out, he was there for Pentecost when the sound of rushing wind, when the flames of fire came down on their heads, when languages that spoke to 18 different dialects, the praises of God, when a massive supernatural fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Thank God Peter didn't miss that. Thank God when you get back up to step back out, you don't have to miss anything. Did you hear me? When you get back up to step back out, back into the will of God, back into the restoration, back into the empowerment, back into a more powerful place than you have ever been. That's the life story of Peter. He stepped out there. He was there when the power fell. And oh, may God do that again, as we see in Acts chapter 4, as he does it again and again and again. May the power of God suddenly fall on all who listen today or at any moment when this is listened to. God, may the clothing of the power of the Spirit of God fall on the believers. Bring the fire of God. Bring the power of God. Bring the restoration, bring the revival, and bring us out into the place where greater reception, where we become the platform whereby God can be on us and operate through us. Could you imagine one day Peter's depressed, down, totally given up, probably guilt-ridden, condemning himself, all by himself until Jesus shows up again. Some days later, he's there when the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel occurs. He's there when he stands up speaking to thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands in a strategic act of God, Pentecost. And he unleashes the powerful gospel as was intended, filled with a new fire, long to forget his failure. Never had to go back there again. Did you hear me? Did you hear the Spirit of God? Never have to go back there again. Clothed with power, he would say, "Listen to me." Unleashing the gospel and the power of God, look what occurs. Thousands struck by the Spirit of the Lord, brought to Christ, saved, baptized. Is that where we stop? After one great accomplishment? No, it's on to the next. Just on to the next. It's on to the next. Why? Because of the mission of God. Because of the passion of God. Because of the heart of God. It doesn't end till he comes. And that's one of the things I want you to hear today. 2010, last day, December 31st. But God doesn't stop. The passion doesn't withdraw. The love doesn't fade. The hands-on, operative, supernatural, incredible, God, miracle working of Christ doesn't back off. So I don't know what your 2010 was like, but I'm going to tell you right now, the last day of it, things can change. I'm telling you that 2011 is going to be, I'm going to give you three things that I think 2011 is going to be all about. Want me to do that? I can do that real quick. 2011. Let me say overall, the one word. Now, I gave one word for 2010. Nervous. Others have said clueless. Others have said angry. But I give one word for 2011 already. Expectation. Now, you can take expectation like some did at 9/11 years ago when they were watching the towers burning and coming down. There was an expectation. At one moment, there was a clear expectation of deeper catastrophe and collapse, and what else would occur? Expectation for the radical evil? Oh, yeah. Listen, but I don't care if all of hell rises. What I have to tell you today about God will make it pale in comparison. Pale in comparison. Expectation for 2011, well, for me, it's like in Psalm 5:3, that in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. What are you expecting from God? What is God expecting from you? I mean, the promises are all the same. His living presence is all the same. I believe the urgency, in my view, of heaven is still all the same. I'm going to tell you four things about God today that I think are vital as we move into 2011. But here are the three things concerning 2011 that I think that, well, at least in my view, in my assessment, in my spiritual discernment, in my spiritual analysis. 2011, number one, uncertainty. Uncertainty. Will economic recovery continue, or will it? Will there be more collapses? Will there be more surprises of those who have stolen and siphoned off the funds and those plotting the destabilization? Uncertainty about politics. Uncertainty about wars. North Korea, Venezuela, Iraq, Iran, Russia, China, Taiwan, and on and on. Uncertainty. We don't know everything that's going to occur, but we know who does know. We know who can be operative in the midst of all of it. And I would say to politicians, I would say to military men and women, this is the time to get your perspective with God. There's no one higher. No one mightier, no one with more knowledge, no one with more wisdom, no one with more ability to give a heads up. So if 2012, marching into it, is uncertain, what about relationships? What about your job? What about, I mean, I've got uncertainties. I don't know about everything that will occur, but I've got plans. I've got plans based on what God has been doing, what God has been showing, what God has been urging me. I've got plans for 2011. I've got big plans. I've got big expectation. That's number two. Number one, uncertainty. Number two, well, big expectations. And listen, I'm saying as a believer, because of the four things I'm about to tell you, I have great expectation. I mean, there is a verse in the book of Philippians that says, hey, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever goes on, our anchor, our roots are on the living Christ. Whatever happens, Even if it's absent from the body, it literally means instantaneously present with the Lord. So expectation. Now, I will explain that here in a few moments because of the, well, potentials. If I look at 2010 in retrospect and say, what if, or I wish I would have done that different. I wish I would have learned more this or that. I mean, I have some goals physically with my leg back to about 100%. Man, I'm planning physical strength exercises and things to be as healthy and ready as could be. I've got plans. Mastering biblical Greek, moving it on to formal education, and even when you can't do certain things, you know, even if I could not get into the completion of a master's in the area that I want, doesn't stop me from mastering it on my own, doing all that I can. I mean, listen, when we see walls in front of us, do we just instantly walk away and say, I guess I can't do anything? I mean, if God closes the door, I want to know that, and I think he makes that known. Then I don't want to go there. Because when God shuts a door, there is massive reasons why. And one of those is because a door is opened in a different direction. In the best possible direction you can get. Now, I give you the story in the book of Acts of the Apostle Paul and his team traveling. They're going to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of God wouldn't let them. They're going to go into Malaysia, and the Spirit of God would not allow them. The Spirit of God stopped them. The mission was right, the direction. So they went to bed. They didn't stay up all night with anxiety and worrying. They, trusting in the Lord, went to bed. And God intervened with a dream, the Macedonian call. Come over here. They got up and concluded, and they went. And look what God did when they did. Walk in the direction. So, listen, even if you feel like you've missed some things in 2010, good news is if you take time, and it's wise to take time. It's wise to spend time. I mean, soak yourself in the Word of God. Just begin to get in and just read through and listen. Reflect on 2010, consider 2011, but right now, make some choices. If you've got anything to repent about it, because if you don't repent about the sin issues or any patterns of sin, if you do not, then you got to realize you will go into 2011 crippled spiritually and may repeat or deepen sin-level failures. So you're going to want to get out. So you're going to want to get out of that. So you're going to say, Lord, I know that if you search me and find anything, Psalm 139, search me, O God. See if there's anything corrupt in me, lacking in me, sin issues, fears that shouldn't be there. You see, the righteous are as bold as a lion. That's how 2011 should be for all believers in Christ, whether in China, whether in Russia, whether in the Czech Republic, whether they're in Mumbai, whether they're in Manila, whether on the island of Hawaii, whether off the coast of Africa, down into South America, at St. James or London or France or Oslo, could be there in Quebec. How about Australia? What about your city? It's about you. You're the one listening. You're the one listening for what reason? Today isn't about talking about the black nobility in the deep tunnels of the Catholic Church, you know, having a party with the Antichrist. God knows where he's at. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the Spirit of God mentions the man of lawlessness, The Spirit of God instantly lets us know he is the one doomed to destruction. The entire Luciferic side, the entire underground regime, and the Antichrist himself doomed already. The moment he rears his head and does what he does, he's already doomed to destruction. He will not win. Oh, Revelation 19:20. For all those on that side, those who recon, Revelation 19:20 is a prophetic revelation to warn you now. You see, even Satanists, Luciferians, the underground elite, and all the rest are going to go marching into 2011. They're going to look over their scheme of things. There are those who are going to steal the money, siphon it off, Antichrist checkbook. There are those that are going to want to unleash the darkest and supernaturally deceiving powers to bring billions under the cloud of a new age and a super leader coming. Where are you in all of this? 2011, uncertainties for a lot of folks. Number two, 2011, expectation in a major way. And especially if you're going to open wide to God. You ever read Psalm 81:10? Open wide your life, your mouth. And God's saying this, open wide, literally, your life, and I will fill it. You ever get sick and tired of living for yourself? You ever get sick and tired of living for flesh, world? And you ever just get sick and tired of it? You ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Stop it then. Just stop it. You look up, you know that old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. This is the sovereign God. This is the infinite God. This is the God who came for you. This is the God who lived for you. This is the God that died for you. This is the God that comes by a spirit to summon you, to restore you. This is the same exact Jesus that went to the failure Peter on the side of that lake where he was stewing in his depression, condemnation, guilt, failure. And Jesus said, get up and do it again, only better. Pentecost, power of the Spirit of God, new presence. Supernaturally, absolutely changed. Peter went on and lived bold as a lion. Look what he did, because he opened up again to God. I don't care what. And I want to tell you right now, don't use hypocrites to excuse your hypocrisy. Don't use failures of others to empower and give you justification for your failure to be under the lordship of Christ. Oh, yes, I can't be easy with you today. The Spirit of God's not going to let me, because he's speaking to me too. Jesus said it in John's Gospel 15. You can't do anything without him. You go read about it. You go read about it. So if you go into 2011, or the rest of this day for that matter, stuck, unrepentant, no shield of faith up, confused, nervous, uncertain, trembling in your boots, or maybe some listening are just going to go into it partying headlong and drinking and till you puke. You know the old phrase, party till you puke? Right. How's that going for you? How long will that last? You know, hell is a surprise, I believe, for some. Though I do believe, since God is not willing that any perish but all come to him, to repentance, and that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and the realization of the great white throne, there's no excuse when it comes down to the very end. So there are those out there that will squawk and balk about the final judgment, but it involves what so many billions would wish, that the evil would stop, that the craziness, that war and rape and all of, God is going to stop that. But when he does, if you're still lost and you have not turned back, well, then you're lost forever. Expectation of what? If you died right now, expectation of what? You see, for the believer with the indwelling Spirit of God, and literally now into your, I believe, body, soul, and spirit is omnian zoe, eternal life. I believe without question that it's in you, DNA-wise, genetic-wise. I believe that when the great glorification, twinkling of an eye, flash, Greek word atomic, on an atomic level, the mortal will put on indestructible, irrevocable immortality. And see, that's a certain thing, 1 John 5. You go read it. The Spirit of God is writing to you so that you who believe in the name of the Son of God might know, K-N-O-W, Gnosko, Greek word, experientially know that you know that you know with joy that you have. If you're saved, born of the Spirit of God, Christ living in you. Now see, I could say saved, restored, healed, born again, totally forgiven, empowered. But it all involves that the living personal Christ has walked into your life with all of what he is and all of what he's done, all of what he's provided, and he ain't leaving. He hadn't left you. So let the tears roll if you need to. On the one hand, let the tears that are going to wash away 2010 turn into the tears of joy, of God's grace and God's mercy and God's infinite commitment to you. Grip you. Fill you. May you have a Pentecost today. May you be different marching into 2011. And I believe no matter where you've been, maybe you had a great year in 2010, but wherever you've been, I do know one thing, that God has more knowledge, more wisdom, more fruit. See, that's based on everything the New Testament says about growing up in your salvation. You know, learn, you know, add to your, you know, faith, knowledge, and endurance. You read that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Keep growing. Keep developing. Keep bearing fruit. There is more to receive and more to accomplish. So, the second word, expectation. In Christ. And that could be a great thing. That could be a great thing. Lazarus found out. Most of the people weren't expecting because they had no idea that God could intervene in the, quote, natural order of things. He's dead. He's stinking. He's in the grave. Jesus just had to step outside of it and say, roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Nobody else could say it. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Wow. So it's that Savior, the same exact Savior that stood there at Lazarus' graveside and called him to come forth, is the same Savior, if you're a believer in Christ, dwelling in you, with you to the very end, upon you, in front of you, behind you, over you. I mean, listen, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So expectation, promises of God in Christ, all yours. Promise of restoration, renewal, the ability to get up and do it again and do it better, all yours in Christ. Expectation. Let me give you number three. These are the things. Uncertainty, number one, going into 2011, an uncertain year. I think politically, economically, militarily. But I also believe expectations of not just, the world's going to expect in some ways, well, just more calamity, it'll never be as good as it used to be, more bad things are going to happen, on and on and on and on. There'll be a lot of Chicken Littles running out there too. The sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, with nothing else to say and nothing else to do. And that's pretty silly looking, isn't it? It's not about just screaming at the darkness and doing nothing else. It's standing like a Deborah, like a Nehemiah, like a Daniel, like an Esther, like a Philip in Acts 8. So, when I say expectation, I mean with the equation of God Almighty and all that He is and all that He wills and all that He wants and all that He can do in that equation. But the third thing is, I do expect in 2011 massive spiritual ascendancy. I mean, it could be the unleashing of the great chaos that leads to the rise of the Antichrist in the last of the 7 years. Okay, fine. That doesn't diminish God's mission, God's purpose, God's grace, God's power, God's work, God being with you, God being able to do what He did in your life the way He worked in Daniel's life. Didn't Daniel go into a lion's den? How did he come out? Didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fiery, heated up furnace? Someone who looked like the Son of Man was in the fire. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Did you hear me? They didn't even smell like smoke. You know what they said prior to going in? Even if our God will not deliver us, we will not bow down to pagan Babylon. Even if God doesn't deliver me, don't. I mean, let this be the resolve of your heart, so that it is broad and wide on the inside for the living God, the living Christ, to operate, to speak, and to work through. Oh, my dear friend, are you feeling it yet? Are you feeling the Spirit of God ready to operate through your life? Are you remembering, and may God bring back to you a remembrance of the Word of God you need? See, I seek the Lord in all of like a next year thing like this for particular words. One of those is Psalm 5:3. Last year I had two specific scriptures that I really felt was key in my growth and my development for the year. And I've gotten one so far, and I'm going to look for another. And if God has three, but particular things in which God wants to build or have me, and one of those is that in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, you know, I lay my requests. I think it's going to be a big year in prayer. And it says, and wait in expectation. An expectation of God's intervention, God's answer, God's power, God's grace. I'm not before a throne of reluctance. I'm not before a throne of emptiness. I'm not before a throne where God has fallen asleep. I don't even have to dial. There is no busy tone. It is immediate, inseparable, unbroken. Called to come before the full, absolute living presence of God. To receive mercy and grace, yeah. Well, the third thing for 2011, massive spiritual, I do. You know me, if you've been listening at all, we talk and try to give the heads up about the dark side. I do believe a hellish catastrophe of chaos, a black awakening, as they call it, will occur. I do believe nations will crumble and fall, and the world will feel like it's on the brink of annihilation until the apocalypse of Antichrist, the ascendancy of the false prophet, and the regime. Oh, it's going to look like a rescue job. It is the full frontal manifestation. There is no higher manifestation of the dark side when that day occurs. You're talking about every ounce of hell. Oh, the masquerade in the beginning, sure. And the goal, Revelation 12. Do you know the goal? Do you know the satanic goal? The sum total of humanity. Billions. Coming under the spiritual presence, political ideology, military development, and agenda. And let me tell you something. It all leads to Armageddon. That day is a victory. Not for the Antichrist. Not for super soldiers. Not for New Agers. Not for those who've taken the mark, worship the image, and feel like they are super gods. Not for Homo Lumos. Not for Homo Deity. Not for Homo Nauticus. Uh-uh. The glorified, if you're a believer in Christ, you take a look at Revelation 19:14, verses 11 through 14, and you're already pictured in the future. If you're a believer, you're already pictured in prophecy in the future. You're already there in the descent of the King of Kings. It's coming. Hell knows it. That's why Revelation 12 says he knows his time is short. Because the consuming victory purchased at the cross is about to fall, is about to drop out of the heavens. Well, a lot of darkness is still yet to occur. And yet we have this moment to speak into you about coming to Christ, knowing the Word of God, knowing the power of God, and not being deceived. 2,000 years ago, the words of Jesus concerning the end of days begins with, don't let anyone deceive you. Because Jesus unveiled there, 2 Thessalonians 2 unveils clearly, Timothy 4, 1 unveils clearly, 1 John 2, listen, it all unveils clearly that a massive attempt to deceive the most possible has been and will ramp itself up. It ain't going away, my friends. It ain't going away. Now, can I engage you on four things that I think are vital? As we move into 2011, a year of expectation, a year that may get lost in between 2010 and 2012, as I believe the world, listening to the spirit of Antichrist, listening to that mesmerizing, masqueraded, like an angel spirit, bring a global collective towards that end. So it really matters what spirit you are listening to, what spirit guide you have. New Agers, you could have all kinds of spirit guides and psychics and even remote viewers and occultists and others. I mean, undergrounders can have power demons, and the priests could be there, powerful with their ring and their robe. But it's spit. Nothing in comparison to the blood of Christ. To the name Yesu Christu, Yahweh Adonai. This is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, a Savior, a God, the God. El Elyon. Nothing higher, my friend. Infinite. Nothing higher. So the recon experts and those even in China that monitor what you'll allow coming into your country, to the Russian Psy warrior, to the old military man there on the Isle of Hawaii, nobody wants you more, nobody loves you more than God. And if you're listening, I believe it's because the Spirit of God has arranged it. I believe because it is God that wants you to know that the living Christ is knocking at the door of your heart and is saying, come home, open up. Christ wants to come into your life and bring all of what he is, all of what he's done into your life. And right now at this moment, this day, God summons you. Right now, just turn. Just throw all the other junk away and turn and receive the living Christ into your life. Forgiveness, empowerment, the Holy Spirit of God coming into your life as a gift, the gift of eternal life, knowing God and knowing his heart, his passion, his agenda. See, I want to say that among all the things that we're learning about the dark side's agenda, about conspiracy, about the junk, one reason I do, well, expose it, use the authority of Christ, pray against it, stand against it, and fight. That's part of it. But the best defense is the great offense that God has given us. So I want to share in the last 12 minutes the four things that I think are in my equation for 2011. Number one, hear me now. Number one, God is alive and active. God is alive and active. The same Christ of the cross is the one that lives in me, and the one that lives in every real believer in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, Savior of the world. God is alive and active. With all of the hellishness going on in the world and all that is to come, the pinnacle of satanic manifestation, and all that will occur, God is alive and active. Throughout all of 2011, all of 20, however far we go, God is alive and active all the way to the end when the trumpet sounds and the descent of the Son of God. It means two things, the annihilation and final end of all of the radical evil and all the stuff that has brought destruction and the trail of tears to this human race. God is alive. God is active. Known in the person of Jesus, with all the promises, all the instruction. Listen, here's the key thing. You receive it all by faith. All the grace and all the mercy and all that God is and has, you receive by faith. You manifest it, however, in your obedience. You know what obedience is? Well, it is proof that you love God, proof that you're born of the Spirit, proof that you've been set free. It's smart. James 1 says we're blessed if we're obeying the word. 1 John 2 says that we have overcome the evil one if the word of God is in us and we're obeying it. And on and on and on. And I'm simply saying that obedience brings the manifestation. Through. Fully in and through. But obedience is literally faith in action. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll do the teachings. Do you realize it's not just reading about it, but it's about putting it into practice, where we experience the operative power of the Word of God. Read about it, 1 Thessalonians, how they received the Word, not as the Word of men, but as it actually is the Word of God that was at work, operative in them that believed. If you really believe it, you put it into practice. That's the key of biblical faith. If you really believe it, you put it into practice. So, may I say, launch out. God is alive. God is active. Number two. Very important to remember. God has an agenda. God has an agenda. Listen, the agenda is massive. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sum total of the human race. The Spirit of God has been sent to go to the whole world to convict and convince it. Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all humankind to me. Paul preaches by the Spirit of God at the Areopagus to philosophers and others that God now summons all men everywhere to repent. I read in the book of Timothy chapter 2 that in praying for all people, praying for the salvation of all lives, and for those in China, you're being prayed for. For those in Russia and other parts, every one of these cities, thank you to a dear sister down in Columbus, Ohio. Send me some maps. I have a little globe here to my right, and I had all the names of all the nations of where individuals like you are either downloading or listening live. I simply pray that God, like Acts 4, stretch forth his hand to save, to heal, to deliver, to show miraculous sign and wonder. Even as you listen now, may God, with great power and extraordinary work, save, heal, or deliver you. Crush the enemy in every single way and all the work of the enemy. Let me say again, God has an agenda. You read about this, I believe, in Jesus saying, you know, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. Go to the highways and the byways and to compel them to come in. Go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus teaches very clearly in Mark's gospel about the end of days. He's not visibly going to return until this gospel, unprecedented, unequaled, nothing higher, nothing broader, nothing more powerful, nothing that expresses the love of God more, no miracle bigger than the good news of salvation in Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Unto salvation for anyone, anywhere, any place in the world. God's consuming mission, God's consuming will is the globe. God is not willing that any perish. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God would rather that you turn. God would rather that people get saved. God is all about saving. God is saving. Listen, God's power, God's will, God's provision, the cross, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, it's not God's hand, God's power, God's Word, God's passion, more powerful than even the full frontal force of Satan himself. Shall not the words of Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, notwithstand the onslaught of the obedient body of Christ moving forward. So I'm going to say it again right now. Number one, God is alive and active all over the place. Number two, he has an agenda. It is global. It is this agenda when one individual, when one human being turns and gets saved and comes back to God. It's taught in the Gospels twice, all the angels or all of heaven rejoices. Do you understand many people all over the world and all the celebrations and all the firework and everything else in New York and London and Beijing, all over the world there's going to be celebration. And in comparison to the celebration that the angels and all of heaven goes through when one human being gets saved and turns back to God, it all is but dust in the wind. It is all but a pity party in comparison to the exuberant joy, the absolute applause, the absolute rejoicing. Heaven knows when one individual gets saved. When you got saved, heaven knew. Heaven rejoiced. They're glad. Not just God in his joy. The Greek word pleased, used of God, has the idea of depth, the depth of emotional pleasure. God not only wants to save you, wills to save you, can save you, but loves doing it. And he loves that you're still saved and walking with him to this very day. If you're a believer in Christ, God has an agenda. Are you part of it? God has a mission. Are you doing it? Go into all the world and make disciples. Go preach the good news to every creature. Go to the highways and the byways. Christian, get before God. Ask God to give you every name of every person you know that's lost. Write it on a paper. Stick it on your computer monitor. And begin to go after everybody. You ever think of that this year? Go after people to get them saved. Go after them, go after them, go after them. That's what Jesus did. That's what God did. That's what God is doing now in your life. Now listen, maybe you've not seen the example or really saw the Word of God that tells all of us as believers to get out there. In America, there could be 100 million believers. I don't know. In China, some say there's 250 million. Could you imagine every believer under the powerful clothing of the Spirit of God to be a witness of Christ with the most powerful message? God in the gospel, who wills to save, wants to save, gives grace to save, even in the prophetic revelation of the end of days, 2 Peter chapter 3. Guess what? You know why he hasn't come yet? You know why Jesus Christ has not yet visibly come yet? To get more people saved. God's patience means salvation. God would rather save than anyone go to hell. Do you understand? So if you want to be a part of the greatest, most powerful, of fired up, if you want to be involved with all of heaven is involved with, if you want, listen, all the angels are, the Spirit of God is, the Word of God's written for this, the church has been commissioned, and where it does not do this, it will go cold and become a caricature, a funny-looking caricature of what it's supposed to be. And Jesus does have the right to spit that out of his mouth. Sometimes I think when he's done that in some places, they don't even know it. They just keep playing it. But you know what? I'm not going to spend my time on that because God is alive and active. Number two, he has a mission that is vast, bigger than Satan's, bigger than the politic, bigger than the military, bigger than super soldier, bigger than the Antichrist, bigger than Armageddon, bigger than all of it. And that is to save, because it's the number one thing God wants, the salvation of your life. The salvation of every human being. God so loved the world. Number three, there is no fading in the promises of God, the presence of God, the operative wall. Jesus said in the Great Commission, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Expect that. Jesus said he'd give us power from on high. Expect that. Jesus will operate in powers and sign and wonder and healing and deliverance in responding with evangelism. Book of Acts is the revelation of that. Come on. Going to read the Book of Acts? That's the new big course I'm doing this year, starting in mid-January. Field manual for the end of days. Because why? God's alive and active. He has a massive, passionate agenda, bigger than anything else. And there's no fading in his power, his promise, his presence, all the way to the end. Number four, last thing, last minute that I have. What can be done? Simple words of Jesus. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Hey, listen, God's blessing, God's grace, and may God be all over you as you launch into 2011. Hail the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in support. Good night.